federal shutdown hits Central Florida workers. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. An Orlando disabled Marine veteran and IRS employee is one of the 47,000 Central Floridians affected by the government shutdown. Last week, Doug Jackson received a reduction in force letter, or RIF, saying his position is being eliminated December 6th.
It's a bit humiliating, honestly, at first, to share with family and friends, like, hey, this happened again, I was fired. I mean, no one likes to say that.
It's the second time he was fired from the same position, first from DOGE cuts, but was later reinstated when layoffs were halted. His future, once again, is uncertain. On Wednesday, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration from firing workers during the shutdown, for now. We'll hear from Jackson about the impacts he's feeling from the RIF. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Orange County commissioners added two more districts after voting on new election maps Tuesday. The new map increases the districts from 6 to 8. As Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen reports, commissioners had to choose between two maps, including one that would have moved Winter Park out of District 5.
Appealing directly to commissioners, Winter Park leaders expressed their wishes for their city to be in the new District 7. There, they said it would have joined communities with, quote, similar issues and priorities, such as Edenville and Pine Hills. But the commission chose a map that kept Winter Park in District 5. Kelly Martinez-Semerad is the commissioner for the current District 5. She says Winter Park has plenty in common with the district's rural East Orange County.
But there are commonalities with the rural East. The homeowner rates, the property ownership or the property values, the car dependency. So there are similarities there.
Next, the county will send a copy of the new elections map to the state. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
As Florida moves to lift vaccine mandates, doctors are concerned more people will be hesitant to get the shots. And for some diseases like measles, that could be really bad for Floridians. The virus can lead to death in some cases. Dr. Michael Tang is an infectious disease expert in Tampa. He says the measles vaccine has gone through a lot of safety testing, and the benefits outweigh the risk.
We're talking billions of doses of these things, right? And the side effects are super mild compared to the disease itself, and in addition to the more severe consequences of the viral infection.
The U.S. has seen more than 1,500 confirmed cases this year, the highest in three decades. Florida has had 6. More than half of those were diagnosed in people under 20. More than a dozen Central Florida cities are joining nationwide No Kings protests on Saturday. Central Florida Public Media's Danielle Pryor reports.
Protesters are decrying the policies of the Trump administration, including ICE raids, a government shutdown and layoffs, and National Guard deployments to cities. Organizers expect there to be 8 to 11,000 people in attendance in Orlando. That protest will take place at City Hall. Republicans are calling the protests the, quote, Hate America rally.
That was Danielle Pryor reporting. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The annual Come Out with Pride Parade is this weekend in Orlando, but this year things feel different to organizers. National DEI policy changes and the painting over the Pulse rainbow crosswalks feel like personal attacks to the LGBTQ+ community.
It's important as a community member to be able to gather with other folks and really find that affirming space.
Come Out with Pride. That's on Spotlight. Get it where you get this podcast. An Orlando Marine Corps veteran, currently on furlough without pay because of the federal government shutdown, now knows he's out of a job in 60 days, if the courts allow the reduction in workforce to move forward. Doug Jackson received a reduction in workforce letter, also known as a RIF, from the Department of Treasury last week, stating his position with the IRS is being eliminated in early December. Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone spoke to Jackson about being fired while on furlough.
How do you talk to your family, your wife, about this?
It's a tough conversation to have with family because you don't really want pity. You don't want people to feel sorry for you, and you don't want them to be overly concerned, but you do want to keep them informed and keep them up to date on how things are going in your life, or, you know, why you may not be able to travel this Thanksgiving or Christmas because, you know, you need to do the smart thing. You need to kind of put everything on hold. It's a bit humiliating, honestly, at first to share with family and friends, like, hey, this happened again, I was fired. I mean, no one likes to say that. And everyone, of course, who knows me understands this isn't based off of my performance. It's completely indiscriminate. It's normal, everyday Americans, many of which who have worn the uniform and want to continue serving after they've left the military.
You're one of those people, but you're a veteran, a service-disabled veteran. Did you think that would come with some type of protection in terms of being able to keep your job?
Yes, and it's not just implied, it's actually codified. It's sort of a tiered system based off of longevity in the federal government, your performance, whether you're a veteran or not, whether you're a service-disabled veteran. And service-disabled veterans have the highest RIF protection of anyone in the federal government. They should be the absolute last people legally that you're able to fire. And really the absolute last people that should be let go are high-performing service-disabled veterans.
And that's you. You should have the highest level of protection.
Absolutely. Yep.
At this point, if you could ask the powers that be anything, what would it be?
I watched the vice president on a variety of shows on Sunday. I wish I could sit across the table from him so that he could see someone that honestly looks a lot like him. He's a white male Marine veteran. You know, I'm roughly the same age. I've had a very similar experience. I come from rural America, lower middle class, and just to have a conversation with him and essentially have you no sense of shame. Like, how can you look yourself in the mirror and how can you tell the American people that you're addressing fraud, waste, and abuse or making cuts that are necessary because we're in a government shutdown? How can you say those things to people?
And what do you hope comes from all of this? What would a win look like at this point?
I'm sad to say I don't see a win in sight anytime soon. The courts may rule in our favor. And in that regard, I would breathe a sigh of relief and know that a lot of my coworkers are going to have their jobs back, have a sense of stability. It'll be a sigh of relief for their family and friends. For me personally, that wouldn't be enough vindication. I wouldn't feel a sense of vindication if the courts ruled in our favor and we got our jobs back. That's not enough. Because when you sign on to be a federal worker, this is not the experience that you sign up for.
Have you started looking for other work and what's next?
Yes. As soon as I read the letter and actually read it a couple times and had a conversation with my wife, I immediately started job searching.
That was Doug Jackson, a service-disabled veteran, speaking with Engage host Sharon Stone. Hear more about how the shutdown is affecting people here in Central Florida on Engage. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.